96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, the station for fresh news, smart talk all day. We've got lots to talk about this morning. You know I'm talking about traffic. I'm talking about the rollback on the insurance policy, government's proposed insurance policy. We talking plenty things today. If I have enough time this week, starting today, I do want to talk about this article in today's Guardian Business Section, Licensing Authority Chairman issuing of medical cannabis licenses from July 1st. I want to talk about that, but I also want to do a follow-up with Mr. Yuri Kemp, who joined us last week to promote the public forum hosted by the Pharmaceutical Association and the Bahamas Medical Association on Thursday, the 27th of February. I want to talk about it. It's a big, full conversation. I also want Mr. Kemp to be available to talk about the event itself. It was a very interesting discussion, and I learned lots and lots of stuff. Before we get started, I need everybody to pick up their copy of today's national paper, Nassau Guardian. Go to the education section. The headline is 24 to compete for national spelling bee title. Pick your competitor. Pick your competitor, especially if they're from your community, and support them. I have a competitor, at least one competitor in the race. I could be honest with you all, when I opened up the paper and saw the picture of my grandnephew, Camden Green, age 11, Walter Parker Primary School, Grand Bahama, Bimini and the Keys District, I kind of forgot to look for other faces that I know, but I know a lot of these faces. Anyway, congratulations to the young people, an even mix of boys and girls in the contest. 7 participants are repeat spellers. I think Mr. Camden Green is a repeat speller. Camden, you get the whole Green family, the whole Hannah Hasty Tynes family supporting you. I have to reach out to the Hannahs of Grand Bahama and tell them, if they already have a horse in the race, now they got 2. Because we celebrating young people. Congratulations to all those young people. All right. I also, at the end of this week, Saturday, March 8th, that's International Women's Day. Equality Bahamas is hosting its annual International Women's Day March and Expo on Saturday, March 8th. The International Women's Day March and Expo has been Equality Bahamas' annual flagship event since 2017, bringing women, girls, and community members together for a day of activism, solidarity, and recreation. It is the only event of its kind with its explicit rooting in feminist activism, advocacy to end gender-based violence, and community needs. We call on the government, corporate Bahamas, non-governmental organizations, faith-based organizations, and members of the public to respect International Women's Day as a catalyst to increase and deepen meaningful engagement, including education and substantive change with regard to the rights of women, rather than co-opting women's and feminist movements, donning purple and hosting in one-time events disconnected from the political necessity of it in service to capitalism and their own agenda. Equality Bahamas invites the public to take to the streets on Saturday, March 8th, starting at the Eastern Parade, to call for specific and sustained action to end gender-based violence, including legal reform and implementation of feminist policy to guarantee gender equal nationality rights, deliver comprehensive sexual education in all schools, provide sufficient paid parental leave, criminalize marital rape, and decriminalize abortion. To join the International Women's Day March, meet at 8:45 a.m. at the Eastern Parade on East Bay Street near the St. Matthew's Cemetery. To choose a sign and march to the Dundas Center for the Performing Arts on Mackey Street, where the expo will officially open. I'm going to share more from that press release. Thank you, Texter. Thank you, Texter. Okay, I would like to talk about this tragic event that happened on March 1st. That's early Saturday morning on the eastern end of the island. In fact, the very eastern tip, we call the eastern tip of the island. I want to talk about this tragic event, what has been shared so far in the media. And then I have a very specific question to ask. How is an event like this possible after the tragic death of Miss Carey on Munnings Road in 2018? I'm going to read from that story as well. We are also remembering the tragic death of Garvanisha Anastasia Carey. So we'll start with the news in today's Tribune. Questions over what led to fatal crash that left young mother dead. A harrowing video of a car speeding through an intersection and plunging into the water on Yamacora Beach early Saturday morning left many shaken, sparking confusion and urgent questions about what factors led to the fatal crash. The victim, identified as Cheyenne, a mother of two from Yellow Elder, died at the scene after her black Honda Fit was submerged in the water around 2 a.m. on March 1st. She left behind a newborn and a two-year-old. The footage widely shared on social media shows the vehicle hurtling through the intersection at high speed without stopping at the stop sign before launching into the air and crashing into the water. Debris scattered on impact before the car vanished beneath the surface. Speed appeared to be a factor, but speculation has swirled over the possibility of suicide. Authorities have not drawn any conclusions and continue to investigate the circumstances. Emergency medical services arrived but found no signs of life. Police later retrieved Cheyenne's body in the wreckage of a vehicle. She reportedly suffered upper extremity injuries, and an autopsy will be conducted to determine the exact cause of death. Superintendent Karan Jennings acknowledged that this was not the first incident of its kind in the area and urged motorists to exercise caution. He noted that poor lighting may contribute and said police will discuss the issue with the Ministry of Works. Quote, at this time, we have no motives, no reason as to why, but we would like to put out to the public that when traversing in this area, you need to have caution and pay attention as this area is poorly lit, he said. St. Anne's MP Adrian White, who visited the scene, echoed safety concerns and called for improved lighting and preventative barriers. Quote, we have to get road traffic and the Ministry of Works to put attention to lighting as well as safety prevention barriers, he said. This marks the second such crash at this location. One relative declined to speak to the Tribune about the incident, saying, quote, it's too much right now, close quotes. All right, so there are a couple of things I want to talk about. I also have statements I want to read through, articles emanating over the weekend. Eyewitness News Saturday report indicates that police were called to the scene of the accident sometime after 8 a.m. However, authorities claim that the mishap occurred around 2 a.m. Our news reports that the incident may have occurred in the early morning hours around 2 a.m., but it wasn't until around 6:30 a.m. when the police control room received a call about a black Honda Fit in Waters. Let me tell you why I read that, because when I read that EMS arrived but found no signs of life, let's, very sensitively, let's talk about it. What is the likelihood that the victim would have survived any injuries, succumbed to the accident approximately 4 to 6 hours after the incident? Why did it take so long? Right? Now, I know some people are saying, man, Aaron, you asking, why did the leaf fall to the left and not to the right? No. The CCTV camera out there. I saw an image of a pole on the scene. The CCTV camera out there. Are authorities not, I mean, what is the point of we have a CCTV footage protocol laid out, right? Are you telling me that the protocol is that we only review CCTV footage after an event? We don't have a real-time CCTV monitoring protocol, program?
Aaron, and forgive me to interjection. We have about 120 CCTV in New Providence alone, mm-hmm. right? Not even considering Grand Bahama or whatever else, Family Island. Mm-hmm. I know that the CCTV is live. I've seen police officers pull it up and say, I'm zooming into Hay Street, and this is the conversation they're having near the park, mm-hmm. so they can hear around the
area.
Place.
Yeah.
I know that the department that covers that is small, maybe have about 4 or 5 people mm-hmm. in that entire department there.
Yeah.
Those 4 or 5 people can't cover the whole.
Yeah, man, you can. Because you see.
And listen.
I done watch 75,000 movies, whether they TV episodes or whatever. You can get a screen.
Can it hold up 100 on one time?
Yes. And you can program it to rotate through districts. I mean, it's possible. It is possible. Let's just start there. I appreciate what you're saying. Mm. Let us not start off by saying it's impossible to do it.
No, I'm not saying that.
It's possible.
Just Saturday, Roberta Flack was in a car accident. Mm-hmm. If the people who were on the road, mind you, the CCTV there also.
Yeah.
If they didn't report it at the accident and then they switch on to that particular CCTV, they wouldn't have known either.
No, the idea
of asking for a third world country who have gotten the basic generic program to make sure monitor things, right? And then demand that we respond in a first world country response, which they can't even maintain.
Pause.
It's kind of odd.
No, they can maintain it.
Well, how come they're not maintaining it?
No, we watch it. I watch it in London all the time.
Yeah.
I watch it in London all the time. London got far more cameras.
And far more people.
No. The ratio, cameras to operators is roughly the same. That ain't it. The question is, did anybody have the foresight to think, well, you know, a more effective policing strategy would be a live monitoring of CCTV footage,
okay.
right? Then we talk about that area, high-end, low traffic at various parts of the day, right? Surely you want more eyes on that area.
We want more eyes on East Street. That's where all the police need to be watching. Watch.
That's a shoreline, though. That's the next thing. That's a shoreline.
And how many accidents?
The same way that
how many accidents in the last 20 years?
The same way that accident occurred, and it took approximately 4 to 6 hours for a police to attend the scene. How likely is it that a boat, a sloop, a group of undocumented migrants could pull up to the shore, jump out in the water, and wade their way onto land?
Usually migrants come from the southern end to say, man, if they be able to sail past all our Defense Force officers and go to the northern end, or
northeastern
pass,
end,
and pass Paradise Island and then land.
You could come up from the south and come up on the eastern end.
And you mean they have to pass the Eleuther, then come up through the Atlantic Ocean? That girl in the opposite. They trying to make it to Florida. They go inward.
Yeah, but the people them who land at South Beach, what if I say, yeah, everybody been landing at South Beach, I can pull up on the side. And I mean, that's just undocumented migrants. What about undocumented contraband? Right? Like this idea that it is not worth it or there is no need for it is unreasonable, because I could think of two other pressing national security issues that would warrant greater focus on that area of the island. Let's go to the phone line. I'm going to try it out, caller. Good morning.
Hey, morning, Miss Green. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Wait a minute. Hey, you're talking about that accident, right?
Yes, sir.
But I don't think the CCTV cameras is the problem. The drivers are the problem. We simply can't drive. Let me give you a prime example of what I'm talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
You will see accidents. I'll tell you, yeah, an accident happens at least four times every week on Nassau Road. You know when you're on the airport road heading towards Odyssey? It's like a slight curve where they just put some lights up because an airplane actually knocked down the fence.
Mm-hmm.
Accident on the same exact spot. For some strange reason, the same exact spot, accident four times every week, they have to put back up the fence.
Mm-hmm.
So why would we put a CCTV camera there?
They should put a CCTV camera there.
I actually saw a cube with the fence pulled above bent, which leads me to believe the cube went over the fence.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to me now. The bottom of the fence is in touch, but the top of the fence was actually bent with the cube inside the water.
I got you. Oh, no, we are not discounting that factor, that the vast majority of people on the road do not have the capacity to operate a motor vehicle safely on New Providence Road.
I don't think it's that, right?
It is that.
People don't have the capacity to do it. People simply don't care.
But that's what the capacity is. See?
I actually seen on Wolf Road, right?
Yeah.
By Bamboo Shop.
Mm-hmm.
Someone looking down on the floor, reversed their car right in the middle of the road to pull off.
Mm-hmm.
I actually seen someone with a baby in the lap, a pair of food in the hand, a cell phone in the next hand, and a dog in a passenger seat. Only God who knows how to drive the car.
Listen, 3 months ago, I took Wolf Road instead of Shirley Street because Shirley Street was backed up with traffic, I mean, all the way to the Eastern Road, close to Johnson Road, right? No indication of what would be causing the traffic delay. So I say, go in Wolf Road. Why did I go Wolf Road? I start off behind this truck, who the driver is obviously on his phone. It's obvious that the driver is distracted, and the manner in which he is stopping and starting his car suggests that he is likely on his phone. But I didn't blow my horn because I could see how distracted they were. I didn't want to panic them. So they approaching the bank, I think it's Commonwealth Bank, and this woman, she coming out, she ain't checking, she coming out, she have a phone crutch up between her shoulder and her ear. She startles the truck. The truck, you know, when you take your foot off the gas to hit the brake and sometimes it just accelerates just a little bit? That's what happened. And then he hit his brakes. She panicked, she panicked and then crashed into a car, pushing the car who had the right of way onto the sidewalk. Right? I'm gonna regale you. Thank you, Carl. I'm gonna regale you with stories.
Yeah, but Miss Green,
continue.
Right? This guy was in this tall Escalade on the airport road during the Christmas, right?
Mm-hmm.
I drive in my, anyway, I don't think what kind of driver I drive in. But I drive in and I drive beside him. He politely turning the car into my car, forcing me off the road, almost going into the Lamport. On the airport road. So I drive him at 60 miles an hour. He drive him at 75. Cutting across the car. He can't see my car. I drive me straight off the road.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can forget how fast you always going. But the point is, even with that speed, the driver has a responsibility to be aware of everything going on around him.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to tell you. People simply don't care.
Listen, that's, and okay, you got that right. People don't care.
Don't care.
Stick a pin. That's called a lack of empathy. And that means if you don't care, you don't have the capacity to drive a car. You don't qualify. See, people believe that driving is a privilege and say, thank you very much, caller. Eh? I really appreciate your point because that's where I was going. People think driving is a privilege. It is a right. We can talk about, or no, it's not a right. It's a privilege. You have the right to be given a license if you pass the test and if you adhere to the rules. You have the right to have or maintain your license, right? But owning a car is a privilege. Being able to drive a car is a privilege. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green.
Morning, how you doing?
Mr. Nuri.
Hey.
You know, Ms. Green, I'm 60, right? I'm thinking if I really had some money, I would rather someone drive me around because it's really, it bothers the mind to see the imbecility, really and truly, right?
Mm-hmm.
The lack of knowledge, the usage of the roundabout. I mean, some people are just so asinine when it comes to using the roundabout. I wonder where their mind is about, what their mind is about. And also, people have to realize that they're so consumed with these cell phones, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other night I was riding east on East Bay Street, and so it's like somebody was riding so slow. When I look, you can see the phone illuminated from the rear of the vehicle as you overtake, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they really don't understand that they actually can cause accidents. They're driving too slow. They don't really care. And so what is really helpful for me is these people are thriving whilst driving with the cell phones in hand. Somebody just called and said somebody had a baby, the phone, and they, man, listen, man, these people doing everything. And then also, Ms. Green, dexterity. They're not ambidextrous. Some people can't hold the lanes, compounded maybe by the fact, maybe alcohol or whatever, et cetera. But some people just don't have the dexterity because the roads are narrow, you know, the dual carriageway. You can see some people can't actually hold the lanes. They don't have the dexterity to keep the vehicle straight. You ever notice that?
Yep.
All right. And then another thing is, I have to do predictive driving. I have to predict what a fool will do. The situation that the gentleman talked about with people, I had that happen to me on East Street. You know, it's really sickening. Some people, they don't know what the stop sign is. They don't stop. It's ridiculous. And another thing which really sickens me, there are a lot of imbeciles that if the vehicle is impeding your pathway, let's say you're heading south and the vehicle is parked on the south and you're heading southbound, I'm heading northbound.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of imbeciles feel as if they're just supposed to come in the northbound lane without even giving you any warning.
No, the obstruction is in your lane. You have to maintain the right of way. You have to wait until the obstruction clears in your lane.
Stop and let them pass, because I see they ain't got no sense. Yeah. Another thing is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that is sickening for somebody, I can't get old driving around this. A lot of migrants really don't know what to do either. They're compounding the problem. Mm-hmm. So here's what the problem is. When you're driving, what's the point of not signaling?
Mm-hmm.
The government, you need to be fined for not signaling. What's the point of having a vehicle inspection and telling someone the signal is not working when the imbeciles don't even have the energy to turn on the signal? That's why they're so diabetic. They don't use energy. They don't even lift their fingers to even turn on the signal.
What's
the point?
Thank you.
I explain to people that when you put on your signal, you facilitate driving.
Yes.
You know, this is ridiculous. This place is in a mess. Garbage is everywhere. People's minds are, you know. Hey, listen, I wish I could explode. I just can't.
No! Thank you. Give thanks. Thank you, 52. No, you can't explode. Signaling. We're going to talk about signaling in a moment. Good morning, caller.
Hey, Ms. Green, I just want to add one more thing, right?
Yes, sir.
Question. That's the explain roundabout on JFK, right?
Uh-huh.
No one knows how to use a roundabout. Should we just decide just to get rid of a roundabout?
I can be honest with you. I'm just about there with you. I'm there with you because it is ridiculous. I watched this woman cut me off. I have my turn signal. Because did you know you're supposed to use your turn signal on the roundabout? You know these people don't know that, right? So I enter from Farrington Road, and I go into Milo Butler. Continuing over to Milo Butler. I enter in the inner lane because I got one, two. I'm taking the third exit. So I enter in the inner lane. I put on my signal because I could see the car coming from JFK, I could from University Drive, I could see the car coming from University Drive trying to cut, you know, in while I still have the right of way. So I put on my turn signal. I had to blast my horn. Homegirl was on her phone. She's very apologetic, but she was deep in her phone while she forced her way onto the six-legged roundabout.
Yeah, so we can just get someone just to dig up the whole roundabout because he ain't know how to use it.
I for that.
Someone dead on that.
I for that.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much, caller. Let's go to the next caller as I got plenty of things to talk about. Good morning, caller.
Aaron, how you doing?
I'm good. Thank you. Now, listen, Graham, before you start talking, right? Mm-hmm. I need you to understand that the vast majority of people who purchase scooters or motorcycles do so with the primary intent, right, for the purpose of not having to follow traffic laws. They feel like a motor scooter enables and authorizes them to create a third lane. They feel like if they create a third lane and then they pull up and there's a gap in front of you, they could just fill that gap. Mm-hmm. And so before you talk about traffic, just remember, I'm going to respond with, you sure motor scooterists know what they're doing on the road? Okay.
Okay, we got that clear. Anything else you want to add?
Oh, I'm going to continue talking about traffic.
Okay. Why? So, get rid of the traffic and there'll be no need for a scooter. Or, let's get a culture of scooters, like in Asia, Bermuda, where it eliminates the congestion.
Do they have a scooter? Do they have a scooter lane in Bermuda?
No, people have no traffic, so no need for that. Because you don't have one person in every car and 350,000 cars on the road at lunchtime. Secondly, mm-hmm. I use the brakes and indicators work on my vehicle, and I use them. What we have is people that turn the indicator on and leave it on thinking that you will see them on the scooter, which in you think they're turning and they're not. I thought that was smart at best. What about getting rid of the traffic? The eight-leg roundabout, six-leg, that was put there by one of our prime ministers to confuse us. Why don't we build a simple overpass? Haiti has overpasses. Jamaica has overpasses. Overpasses that are miles long. We only need it just to skip over a roundabout, and so people could go underneath the roundabout heading east and west and going north on East Street and Blue Hill. Let's start with those two locations because that's the biggest congestion there. See, only one party has ever spoken to that. I'm not going to call the name of the parties, but we've had 50 years and no overpass, so pretty much they want you in traffic. And is it evil, Dr. Evil? Is it evil because you sitting in traffic means I make more money selling you fuel? Whaps! Mm-hmm. Why have we not put anything overhead? Simple. So, all we do is open up the airwaves, thanks to Papa, and cry. And now we got this new thing called social media to cry on.
Thank you very much.
If we're really serious, we'd go and do something and tell our government to fix it this way or that way before we vote in next election.
You can cause me to tell you about the play I'm about to go to in May. Thank you very much, Graham Weatherford, for your contribution. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much. It is worth exploring cultures in Asia and Bermuda around scooters. See, here's the thing. Like I say, driving is a privilege. The right is, if you qualify and you meet the criteria, you have the right to get a license. Man, caller, sorry, there you go. Producer, let's go to that call.
Hey, Ms. Grant.
Yes, sir.
We can maintain E Street and Graham want us to maintain overpass.
Yeah.
You think the money is any good?
I'm not sure. Right, because the idea is sound. It works in other jurisdictions. The question is, are we there yet? All right, thank you. So Texas says, so is that caller saying he does not know how to use roundabout? Well, all he need to do is get some training, like some more drivers. Nothing wrong with the roundabouts training. No, man, I got you, Texas. Like, it is about training. It is about training. I'm going to go to this caller, and I'm going to cut me off on the roundabout 2 weeks ago, and look at God how he was towing a vehicle with a rope. Good morning, caller.
Aaron, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
I'm not sure that I one of your callers may have raised this issue before, but I want to raise it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, Aaron, I believe that the entire Prince Charles Drive needs to be reviewed.
Mm-hmm.
Because It's a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous situation trying to get out of anywhere onto Prince Charles with those speeding traffic in those dual lanes on both sides of the road. You ever tried getting out of Doris Johnson or Commonwealth Bank?
Yeah, it's very problematic. I come out the clinic, come out the Commonwealth Bank. It's
but none of these engineers, Aaron, none of these engineers who we are paying top dollars to have enough common sense to see what's going on out there. Are they waiting for someone to get killed?
No, the engineers are not the problem. Engineers, they do the technical work, and then they pass it up to somebody, right? You remember, we in the advocacy world, when we was planning National Women's Week, I mean, you weren't there, but when we were planning National Women's Week, by the time the plan went up to cabinet, it was a totally different plan, right? You see, we have this problem with left on red now, right? I surmise the reason why nobody, I mean, the reason why we're still in this quagmire of foolishness, and I swear to the good Lord, if somebody hit my car turning left on red improperly, i.e. where there is no sign indicating you could do so, or without treating the intersection like a stop sign, and stopping for 3 seconds and then entering the intersection, I suing everybody, Mr. Duncan.
Of course, yes, Mr. Garen, but I honestly thought that once the coast was clear, you could have turned left on anywhere.
Yes. That's what I thought. So when you heard Aaron Green running on like a maniac, you did, let me just check it out in case that maniac Aaron Green is correct. And every time she see me, she goes shame me because I's a, not you in particular, but I's a big grown human, and I should know that the onus is on me to know the law.
That's
not for you. That's for the rest of big grown people who I see, who I know have good jobs, have good degrees, go to good churches, and they still just do whatever they want and disregard the law.
Yeah, but just very quickly, Aaron, I just want to offer, because I didn't do it, I just want to offer condolences, you know, to that young lady's parents.
Yes, sir.
And family, you know, and perhaps anyone else who's associated with her, because that was very unfortunate, scary, you know. But the thing is, Aaron, the powers that be, whoever they are, Minister of Works, whoever you are, have some common sense, man, and look at what's happening on Prince Charles Drive and see how best we can mitigate.
Without a doubt.
Avoid these type of things happening ever again. Because it's dangerous trying to get out of anywhere on Prince Charles throughout the day.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Right. Priority issue. Priority issue for residents in the East. Good. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning to both you and Ms. Green, and to you, Mr. Newey, Seattle and Johnson.
Morning.
Yes, just let me just say something. Is that I think for, well, going almost on 2 decades now, we've been talking about an island unified busing system, a simple process for an island as small as we are. The problem we have is that...
Politicians.
We need, but we are trying to maintain. We are trying... See, as a digital person, right... You can digitize analog, but you can make analog digital, but you can't make digital analog. And so essentially, what we've been trying to do is take a 21st century system and fit it into a 19th century concept for our busing system. You know, the whole aspect of the vehicle congestions and routes we're having in the Bahamas is because we do not have a functional ground transportation system, and fixing that, you know, I know you have the politics involved because you have people with taxi license and people with bus license and everything else. But anyone knows that improvement on a busing system will actually improve just an impact on the cent. And why is that? The lost man hours, the medical stress,
the ineffective
things.
And inefficient movement of goods, people and services.
So here it is. We have a struggling GDP. We have inflation growing than anything else. And a simple system of having a bus where you could depend on a bus every 15 minutes during the peak time, maybe half an hour during the day, and even an hour or so, even in the night or evening times. This is not rocket science. You have certain corridors that you establish, a crisscross system, and now with artificial intelligence and ability to even have call-up service and all these different things. It's something to be done. But a point that is made is that the government do have, and I say this all the time, our government depends on a carbon-based taxation system.
Mm-hmm.
And until we come up with an economy model that allows the personal economies of individuals to grow so that we could have the same low tax but taxing a large amount of money, the government then depends on the very thing that we fly around the world with millions of dollars saying we're trying to fight, but we're increasing the consumption every year of the same carbon fuels and other different things. It's like crazy.
Your government feeds on it.
Yes, and so the government itself is feeding the government itself has become the parasite that's trying to cure itself.
Alan, I gotta go.
Thank you so much.
No, I gotta go. I'm going to a break. When I get back from the break, I'm gonna continue the conversation. I just saw something in today's Tribune that I'm going to read out loud. Women in Energy Awards presented to three by High Commission of Canada. The High Commission of Canada presented, quote, Women in Energy Awards last week to Minister of Energy JoBeth Colby-Davis, BPL Chairperson Christina Alston, and BPL Chief Executive Tony Seymour. The presentation was made on Thursday at Bahama. What's happening? What's happening? What is happening? No, please, somebody tell me what is happening. What do they know that we don't know? Like, we haven't even seen the final deal. Y'all have not published yet the finalized deals, contracts, protocols, policy with your new era regime, your energy, new era in energy. What do they know that we don't know? What did y'all tell them? What y'all tell them that you cannot tell us? This is wild.
So you're trying to say they don't deserve the award?
Yes. Look at the state of BPL. Look at the lack of transparency.
Your liability didn't go down?
Look at the lack of accountability.
So why do
you... We've not had an answer to a question from 2012. We've not had an answer to the questions from Alstom when the Ramsey man went to jail, even though he don't have any legal responsibility to make any decisions, right? The fire in 2018, the Wärtsilä engines, the building not being fit for purpose, the pieces of concrete falling on the ground, the leaks, the fire in Andrus burned down the whole building. We still don't know what the finalized agreement. We don't know who the beneficial owners are of the entities that are signing contracts with our government for 25 years plus. What? No, I just.
So are you saying that they do not deserve the award?
Producer, it's time to go to a break. Before we go to a break, don't miss the 2025 CONCACAF Beach Soccer Championship at Malcolm Park Beach Soccer Stadium in Nassau on March 11th through 16th. Watch the Junkanoo boys take on top teams like Panama and the USA. It's free to attend. Come out and support your team. And all games featuring the Bahamas will start at 8 p.m. That's what they said. At 8 p.m., giving people time to come out to organize your schedule. We got a big job. Support Team Bahamas, the Junkanoo boys, for the 2025 CONCACAF Beach Soccer Championship. You don't like how I juggle those balls?
Yeah,
better than juggling the words.
It's an art.
Much better. You're on the clock with Erin Green. We're coming right back.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Well, he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, Sino.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
Alright, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody got to know it's you.
So how do I wait?
All you got to do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. Heed the call to action against abuse and violence, and for hope and healing. Join Women Walk 2025, Saturday, March 8th at 9 a.m., Clifford Park. Come, walk, pray, wear purple or white, Stung Healthy Community, a free event, Saturday, March 8th at 9 a.m.
Here's a price list of some of the roofing material we carry at Pinda Enterprises. 5/8 pressure-treated roofing ply, starting at $36.68. Graysec Water Shield, $134.20 a roll. Felt, £15, $16.50, £30, $19.80. Owens, Corning Duration Shingles, and CertainTeed Landmark Shingles, $56.56 a bundle. Gallon of roof cement, $33.47. All sizes treated dimensional lumber. And, of course, we have all nails and all screws. We have 5/8 sheetrock, $28.76. Half-inch sheetrock, $22.18. All prices include VAT.
Simple servants, let's go! Oh yes, this one's for you. Go!
They turn up my water, turn up my light, 'cause little bit of rain did come down last night. So I dial a certain number, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The phone just keep on ringing, man, them people full of jive. Now I'm one of them people who like to complain, but when I went down to the...
Good morning and welcome back to On The Clock with Erin Green. Let me just, before I transition back to traffic, let me just make this point. I am not critiquing the work of technicians, only politicians. At the same time, is it unreasonable to ask for the rationale? Why? Because the people who gave them the award told them why they got the award, you know. Would anybody tell us exactly why they were selected for the award and why all three of them at the same time? I am uncomfortable with the whole thing. See, a couple of years ago, I was asking, so what is the rationale for our government honoring Paul Kagame from Rwanda and honoring Maxine Waters from the United States of America? When Maxine Waters got up and riled the people for like arresting Sam Bankman-Fried when he was supposed to come and testify before her committee, y'all didn't even worry about it and say, maybe now's a good time to ask what was the rationale for honoring Barbara Walters, you know, honoring Maxine Waters. Same thing with Kagame. Now that the UN say Kagame teaming up with the rebels, them, and mashing up the vibe, anybody asking, well, what was the rationale for honoring? What was the reason why we gave Paul Kagame, like, one of the nation's highest honors? I just checking. Okay, we're going back to traffic. I got a lot of texts here. It says that traffic law of turning left on red is ridiculous. It appears that we did not think it through properly. It's like we imported a practice from another country and applied it to our system. In Florida, the law is the motoring public may turn right on red traffic light. They may not, in cases where there's a sign that they may not. Our law is seemingly the direct reverse, where we are only permitted to turn left where there's a sign. How many signs are posted on New Providence Island? I think right now there are 3 signs, and they're all on University Drive. So one is on University Drive in the left lane to go onto University Commons. The second is on University Drive northbound lane to turn left onto Moss Road, and the third one is on Moss Road, right, at the intersection to turn left from Moss Road onto University Drive. I observed one sign in Grand Bahama. Right, that's it. That's all I know about from the media. In Grand Bahama, Freeport, the signage or notice permitting to turn on left at the traffic light is at every traffic light junction in Grand Bahama, for real? Why y'all Grand Bahama people didn't tell me that? Y'all have all the signs? That's what happened? Y'all have all the signs in Grand Bahama? Anyway, I remember hearing the former officer responsible for road traffic say on, I think, Morning Blend that they had lobbied the government to do it the way that it's done in the U.S., that you can turn left on red, right? Unless there's a sign telling you that you cannot turn left on red, right? So the police said that they recommended the model in the U.S., and they are not quite certain why the government went with the reverse, which is to you can only do it where there's a sign indicating. Here's another point. If you're at an intersection like Parkgate and Village Road, and you notice that there are like four lights, right? There's actually a light for your left turn. If there's a light for your left turn, and the light is red, the arrow, left arrow is red, that means you cannot turn left on red. See, if it was only yourself you were prepared to kill, it wouldn't be a problem. But you all have children in your car. You have other people on the road that you're willing to risk injuring them and killing them because you don't do what other people is tell you do. I know what thoughts be going through your head when you're driving, you know. I hear you say it. You think I stop and at the stop, I got places to go. Who are you mad at, and why do you think trying to kill other people on the road is going to resolve your issue? You see, you can't be mad at the government for refusing to do what they ought to do, for refusing to be accountable to their own promises and policies and laws and regulations. You can't be mad at the government for refusing to follow the law and then go home and punch your neighbor or beat your children, because it don't make any sense. Here's another text says, you know what I'm seeing more and more? People opening their car doors in the path of oncoming traffic, whether they are entering or exiting the vehicle, especially by the Rum Cake Factory, where this weekend I saw taxis parked two abreast. At the same time, another taxi was attempting to reverse into Bay Street, and another was ushering tourists into the van in the path of moving traffic. Remember the lady who was killed attempting to get into a car on Narrow Bay Street? It's been 2 months. When will the new commissioner notice this is happening? Hold on, what do you mean it's been 2 months? What did you mean a woman was killed trying to get into a car on Bay Street? See, the way that the new Royal Bahamas Police Force website is set up is difficult keeping track of the crime reports. But let's talk about it. It's been almost a year now since I saw a woman, pedestrian, lying in the road in between Bamsey and Scotiabank on East Bay Street. I presume that she was knocked down while trying to cross the road, which is very difficult when people insist on parking their vehicles on the sidewalk in front of the bank. I mean, I am just beyond empathy trying to figure out what's going on in the minds of people who have no regard for other people's safety. And I say this because I recall several weeks before witnessing the pedestrian laying in the on the ground, walking on that sidewalk immediately in front of the bank and almost being hit by a small van that flung itself on the sidewalk in front of me. See, we've created this state where security guards who are supposed to keep the patrons of banks safe are afraid to tell customers you're not allowed to park your car on the sidewalk. Not only do pedestrians use it, but the view needs to be clear for other vehicles leaving the parking lot. Here's another text. Aaron, what happened to the cyclist who died as a result of being hit by a magistrate's vehicle? September 9th, 2024, a young man whose name was only printed once, and I don't even think in the I'm not even sure if it was in the formal media. A young man on a motorcycle was hit from behind by a vehicle assigned to a senior judge or magistrate. The name of the individual driving the vehicle assigned to the senior judge or magistrate has never been revealed to the public. The only thing they said that was said was the guy, he was unlicensed and he was in authorized to be riding a cycle and da-da-da-da. But I know that if you hit anything or anyone from behind, you may be entirely responsible for the accident. May. Not like you are in every single circumstance. But what I found is that you would be charged with something, even if it's driving without due care and attention. It's a very troubling matter. It's troubling personally to me, because I have to go see a magistrate about something soon. Why we don't tell the COI fanatics that we want reality-based solutions to traffic? The COI will spend millions to give us another corridor that will clog. A bit unfair, Texter. A bit unfair. All right, quickly. Aaron, have you heard of any plan by RBPF to combat the noise pollution and driving threats caused by the motorcycle terrorists in our streets? Texter, I'm not sure that the RBPF have the capacity to respond to that particular issue, because they don't seem to have the capacity to compel all police officers to follow traffic laws, not even the traffic police. The most disheartening thing is to watch people commit traffic offenses in immediate proximity to police officers while on duty, sometimes while conducting tax collection exercises, disguised as traffic enforcement. It is most disheartening to reach this age of almost, like, I almost old enough for the people to tell me I too old to join the civil service. Eh? Anyway, my greatest concern about this traffic accident, I'm coming right now, producer, I promise, is that we have not even considered that there may be foul play involved. And for the sake of the individual who died, let us not resort to this thing where we just go to the easiest answer. It gotta be speeding. Please investigate every potential. Also, when you see me again, when the On the Clock returns, we're going to talk about Munnings Road. Because the question is, how could a tragedy like this happen after Munnings Road? Where are the guardrails? Where are the safety precautions? Where is the statutory, legal, moral, ethical obligation of our government actors to ensure that they are doing what they ought to do? Anyway, you've been On the Clock with Aaron Green. I didn't get to every text. I am so sorry. I will. A text I got you are unrelated. I got it. You guys have a great day. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with CA Nuri is up next.
Watch this. First you build a fire and it gets higher. Higher and higher, higher and higher. Then we got surrounded and we get wilder, wilder and wilder, till the devil's in the fire. Kumbe, kumbe, do da 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 da.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.